All right, we're on. Okay. Good morning. I was going to do that. Yeah. Bonjour. Comment ça va? Okay. That's all the French I know. That's right, le singe mange une orange. It is my pleasure to be here with you all today. And we're going to be talking about the topics of culture and the kingdom of God. But before we get into that today, I'd like to introduce you to my family. It's a little hard to see. But on the left is my oldest son, Pavel. And then my wife, Mycretia. And my son, Elijah, who's 14, who is here today. So we have been in Africa for about 5 weeks now on this trip. And my wife was with me, but she left about a week ago to go back home. So my son is still here with me, and we'll be here and leave on Sunday. Okay, can I have that back? Thank you. So I want to tell you a story. Back in January of this year, we had been on a weekend teaching trip in another city. And we came back to Minnesota, where we live. And by the way, where we live, it gets about 30 to 35 below zero in the winter. So it's cold. Froid. I know that word. Froid. Yes. All right. Yes. So we got back very late that night. And very early the next morning, my wife had tickets to go to a breakfast in honor of Martin Luther King Jr. She was supposed to go with my son. But because we had gotten in so late, he was too tired and didn't want to go. So at 5 a.m., she asked me if I would go and take his place. So I said, sure, and I put on some clothes similar to what I'm wearing now. And we hopped in the car and we drove downtown to where the event was. I thought it would be a group of about this size having breakfast. But I got there and discovered there were about 2,000 people there. And I was one of the few white people there. But the thing that really got to me or bothered me was as I started to look around, I realized that everyone else there was wearing very formal clothes like tuxedos and suits. And I was dressed like this. And I turned to my wife, and I said, "Oh my, I'm underdressed." And she looked at me and said, "Yeah." And I said, "What do you mean, yeah? You knew I was underdressed?" It was then that I noticed that she was wearing a very lovely formal black gown. So I said, "Why didn't you tell me that I was underdressed?" And she looked at me and said, "Well, you're an adult. I just figured you were going to do what you wanted to do." Okay. And for those, I don't know if you can translate this, but for those who speak English, what she actually said is, "You're grown. You're going to do what you want to do." So I said, "I would have told you if you were underdressed." And she said, "Well, it doesn't matter." I said, "It matters to me. I'm already in the minority here, and now I'm underdressed as well." And my wife of 20 years looked at me and said, "Well, all I can tell you is when my people get together for breakfast, we're going to dress like it's Sunday morning." Now, even though we've been married for 20 years, we come from a very different cultural background. We view the world in very different ways. And this story illustrates many of those differences. We think differently. We look differently. We communicate differently. We respond to other people differently. Culture is very powerful. I think one of the reasons it's so powerful is that we're never taught culture. Instead, we breathe it in from around us. You learn culture, but you're never taught culture. It is simply what the people around you do, and so it becomes normal. John and Elijah and I are from the United States. We have very different culture than many of you. There are probably some things we do that you would look at and go, "How strange." But we think it's normal. And we think you're strange. Right? Sometimes our differences can be funny.
Et parfois, nos différences peuvent être vraiment amusantes.
Amusement, not droll. Droll? I don't know. Not droll. I'm trying to work on my French while we do this. Okay, all right. I'll tell you one more story. This is a swimming pool in the town where I live. It's a public swimming pool. And I went there one summer afternoon. And I had my son with me. And there was a group of African American teenage boys playing basketball in the water. And over here there was a group of white teenagers playing together. And I don't know if you have this game, but they were playing Marco Polo.
Okay.
No. It was a water game, anyways. But all of the adults around the pool were white. And as the two groups went on playing, the adults started to get very irritated with the group of black teenagers. They even complained to the lifeguards there, to the people in charge. And as I sat there, I wondered why the behavior of one group bothered them, but the behavior of the other group did not. It would be easy to think that it was because of race. But I don't think that was it. I think it was because the black teenagers were acting in a way that made sense to them culturally. But to this other group, it seems strange and wrong. And so they felt threatened by the behavior. Even though at a basic level, the two groups were acting the same, it was coming across differently because of this cultural divide. Culture can divide us. And it's a very strong divider, but it's not the only thing that divides us. In Revelation chapter 5, verse
9.
Maybe if you could just read that.
Apocalypse 5, verset 9. La Bible dit ici au verset 9. Et il chantait un cantique nouveau en disant, tu es digne de prendre le livre et d'ouvrir les sceaux, car tu as été immolé et tu as racheté pour Dieu par ton sang des hommes de toute tribu, de toute langue, de tout peuple et de toute nation.
Every tribe,
chaque tribu,
every language,
chaque langue,
every people,
tout peuple,
and every nation.
Et toute nation.
This is a picture of what God wants his people to look like.
Voici l'image de comment Dieu veut que son peuple soit.
But in every one of these categories, we find ways to divide.
Mais dans chacune de ces différentes catégories, nous trouvons trouvons toujours le moyen d'être divisés.
Sin divides us.
Le péché nous divise.
And we are very creative in finding ways to divide with one another.
Et nous sommes très créatifs dans l'effort de trouver le moyen d'être divisés.
In my country, we have political divisions.
Dans mon pays, il y a des divisions politiques.
We have racial divisions.
Nous avons des divisions raciales.
In other places, you have tribal divisions.
Dans d'autres pays, c'est les tribus qui sont divisées.
National divisions.
Les divisions nationales.
Divisions over language.
À propos des langues.
And of course, over culture.
Et bien sûr, la culture aussi.
We fight wars over these things.
Et on trouve tous ces moyens de les faire diviser.
Even though the Bible tells us we all come from the same people.
Mais la Bible dit que nous venons de la même origine tous.
We want to divide.
Mais nous voulons diviser.
And we're all guilty of it.
Et nous sommes tous coupables.
I have not seen one part of the world that hasn't found a way for humans to divide against each other. Why talk about culture and race and topics like this? Because one of the ways that Satan most attacks us is through human division.
Satan utilise pour nous attaquer, c'est à travers la division entre les hommes.
What are some of the divisions in your country?
Quelles sont certaines divisions qui existent dans votre pays ici?
Anyone?
Question.
Language.
La langue. Tribu.
Tribal. Okay. What? Religion.
La religion, seulement pour les chrétiens. Politics, c'est
politics. Politics. Everywhere is politics, right?
Partout où la politique divise.
We've had some interesting political times in our country.
Hein? Okay, language.
Language. Language is a big one here, yes?
Okay. Ici, la langue, c'est vraiment sous les divisions ici.
I mean, when you really stop and think about it, is it not crazy to divide over these things? Because I pronounce a word differently than you pronounce it? Or use a different word than you would use? Or we have different shades of skin? Yet we fight wars over these things. I don't think we can fix the divisions of the world.
Moi, je ne pense pas que nous pouvons vraiment résoudre les divisions qui existent dans le monde.
But we can make sure that they are not in God's church. Healthy families can talk about anything.
Des familles en bonne santé peuvent parler de tout.
There's nothing that should be off limits in God's family. Imagine if my wife came to me and said, I want to talk about some things in our marriage. But I said, no, we are one, and any talk about that will divide us. So you just keep your mouth closed and let's be united on this. That will not be part of the marriage class this afternoon. True? Yes? Yeah. But we often have that response to issues of culture and race and political issues.
Cet comportement qu'on accepte pas dans le mariage, malheureusement, on accepte souvent ce même comportement quand il s'agit de race et de la culture.
It's easier to not talk about it.
C'est plus facile de se taire et de ne pas parler.
But we must, because this is God's plan. Sin divides, but God says, watch me bring all of these groups back together as one family. And I believe one of the strengths of our movement in the ICOC is that around the world, we are one family of every tribe, every language, every nation, and every people group. And we cannot turn a strength into a weakness. We cannot let Satan's division come into our church. The conflict over culture and ethnicity was, in my opinion, the greatest threat to the church that we find in the New Testament. These issues of division between cultures and races come up in almost every book in the New Testament. For example, the reason the books Romans and Galatians were written was because there was ethnic division in the church.
For example, the reason why the livres comme Romains et Galates étaient écrits, c'est parce qu'il y avait des divisions ethniques à l'intérieur de l'église à l'époque.
We see these issues come up in Galatians and Ephesians and Corinthians. And many of them were between Jew and Gentile. But these were strong cultural divisions, and they were tempted to look down on one another. And Paul addressed these issues constantly. And said, the one thing we can't have is two churches. We can't have a Jewish church and a Gentile church. We can't have Hebraic Jews and Grecian Jews. Thank you. We must be one people everywhere. That's God's promise going all the way back to Abraham. In the book of Acts, we find a pattern. The gospel starts to spread, and then a threat comes to it. The gospel starts to spread and persecution hits. The gospel starts to spread and Ananias and Sapphira happen. And can you read Acts 6, 1 through 6?
Alors, lisons ensemble Acts chapitre 6, de verset 1 à 6. La Bible dit ici, en ces temps-là, Acts 6, verset 1 à 6, le nombre des disciples augmentant, les hellénistes murmuraient contre les Hébreux, parce que leur œuvre était négligée dans la distribution qui se faisait chaque jour. Les douze convoquaient la multitude des disciples et dit, il n'est pas convenable que nous laissons la parole de Dieu pour servir au tard. C'est pourquoi, frère, choisissez parmi vous cet homme de qui l'on a un bon témoignage, qui soit plein d'Esprit Saint et de sagesse, et que nous chargerons de cet emploi. Et nous, nous continuerons à nous appliquer à la prière et au ministère de la parole. Cette proposition plut à toute l'assemblée. Ils élus Étienne, homme plein de foi et d'Esprit Saint, Philippe, Procor, Nicanor, Timon, Parménas et Nicolas, prosélytes d'Antioche. Il les présentait aux apôtres qui, après avoir prié, leur imposaient les mains.
I love that there's no attempt to cover this up.
J'aime le fait que dans la Bible, ici, on ne cherche pas à couvrir cette histoire, à cacher ça.
The word of God was spreading, but the greatest threat was coming.
La parole de Dieu se répandait, mais il y avait une menace. La plus grande menace se trouve ici.
Because persecution can damage the church.
Oui, parce que la persécution peut détruire l'église.
People pretending to be Christians who aren't can hurt the church.
Les gens qui prétendent être disciples alors qu'ils ne sont pas, ça peut aussi vraiment affecter l'église.
But division among us can destroy God's church.
Mais la division parmi nous est la plus grande menace.
And rip it in half.
Et ça peut complètement détruire.
But notice there's no attempt to make an explanation or an apology here.
Mais constatez que ici, on ne cherche pas à justifier l'histoire ou à présenter une excuse.
When you put together people of different races and languages and culture, it's going to be difficult.
Quand vous mettez des gens qui viennent de différentes races, de cultures, de langues, ça sera difficile.
We have different cultures.
On a des cultures différentes.
We see the world differently.
Nous voyons le monde différemment.
It would be easy to stay with people who are like us.
Ce sera plus facile de rester avec les gens qui sont comme nous.
I love being in Africa.
J'aime le fait d'être en Afrique.
Amen.
Amen.
But y'all do some strange things.
Mais vous faites quand même des choses étranges.
That make it challenging because I'm not from here and I don't understand everything.
Et ça fait vraiment difficile pour moi parce que je ne viens pas d'ici et je ne peux pas tout comprendre.
Right? If you came to Minnesota,
si vous venez à Minnesota,
you would wonder why we did things so strangely. Because I can tell you, there's none of this going on during the service. You would be wondering, when are we going to start doing this? Right here. That's all we had. Just... So, it's harder when we put all these different groups together. Anybody can be with a group of people that's just like them. Even non-Christians can do that. What the world cannot do is bring all of these different types of people together and live as one family. But it will be hard. Of course it will. We will misunderstand one another. We will hurt one another. We will be tempted to bring in the divisions of the world and apply them to the church. And this is what we see in Acts 6. The Grecian Jews looked at the Hebraic Jews and said, they're neglecting us. And the leaders simply said, well, let's find a solution. They knew they were going to have problems. And once they came up with the solution, notice what verse 7 says.
Just the
first part where it says, so the word of God spread.
La Bible dit simplement au verset 7, la première partie, la parole de Dieu se répandait de tous à tous.
This division was threatening the church.
Cette division était une menace de l'église.
But once they unified once again,
et une fois qu'ils sont réunis à nouveau,
it says, and so the word spread.
La Bible dit, parce qu'ils ont trouvé une solution, alors la parole de Dieu se répandait de plus en plus.
If we start to let these divisions happen in our hearts,
si nous commençons, si on laisse ces divisions avoir lieu dans nos cœurs,
it will stop our mission. The world will look and say, we can do that. We can have divisions. God has not brought glory by us being perfect. God has brought glory by us being imperfect but unified. So how do we do this? In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul addresses what I think he's talking about culture here.
Je pense que ici Paul, en fait, à mon avis, il parle de la culture.
And we won't read the whole passage, but this is where he says, I become all things to all people. He's not talking about changing the gospel. He is talking about molding his culture to help others.
Il parle plutôt d'être flexible avec sa propre culture à lui pour pouvoir aider les autres, s'intégrer avec les autres.
He's talking about a community coming together.
Il parle du fait de forger une communauté.
And when we are all willing to lay down our culture and bend it and work together, it's an amazing thing.
Quand nous sommes flexibles avec notre culture, on est prêt à faire des compromis.
When I'm in South Africa, I act like the South Africans act.
Or I
try.
When
I'm in Zimbabwe, I try to act like the Zimbabweans. When I'm in Cameroon, I do my best. But the division comes when we start to think people must act like we do. They must see the world the way we see it. That will never happen. But we can still be unified in Christ. We can respect one another. Try to learn from one another. And it's like a marriage. When both spouses are submitting to one another. And serving one another. And giving to one another. That's when you have a great marriage. When we are all trying to serve one another in our culture and in our beliefs, an amazing thing happens. But it will not be easy. And that's why I think the very next passage, Paul goes in and talks about training. And part of what he's saying here is this is going to be difficult. It's going to take effort to include one another's culture. respect the way other people think.
De respecter la manière dont d'autres personnes pensent.
And to not divide over the things that Satan wants us to divide over.
Et ne pas laisser Satan nous diviser sur des sujets que lui veut utiliser pour nous diviser.
I live in a country where people eat the foods I like.
Je vis dans un pays où on mange ce que moi j'aime manger.
And I listen to the music I like.
Et j'écoute la musique que j'aime, et j'aime, que j'aime.
Although my son is arguing with that. We don't like the same kind of music, but they communicate the way I communicate. Many of them tend to think the way I think. I have none of those things in common with you. But you are more my family than they will ever be. Because we are in Christ. We may have different mothers, but we have the same Father. And we are one in Christ. It will not be easy. We will hurt one another. We will need to forgive one another. We will need to communicate. And there are many times when we'll have to say, what did you mean by that? That seems strange, or it felt rude. But we have to learn to listen to one another. Because my wife is from a different culture than I am. She still does things that feel rude to me. They feel wrong to me. But I have learned to ask her, what do you mean by that? And I have found that most of the time in her culture, she is trying to be respectful. It just seemed wrong to me. That doesn't mean it's wrong. But if we don't communicate, we will have division. We do not have to agree on everything to be in Christ. It will be a challenge. Our life together in Christ must be focused on Revelation 5. We must stay focused on the future. On where we are going as one family of all nations. And not look at the things of the past that divide us. To be very honest, where we come from, my ancestors owned my wife's ancestors. Owned. Her.
Owned or owned?
Owned.
Owned. Okay. Les ancêtres de ma femme appartenaient à mes ancêtres.
Possessed. Her family comes from slaves. Mine comes from slave owners.
Alors, sa famille vient de esclaves. Et mes parents en nom des ancêtres étaient ceux qui possédaient les esclaves.
Think of the things that we could divide over if we looked in the past. We have nothing in common except Christ. And because of Christ, we are one. And we are unified. And in Christ, our differences mean nothing.
In Christ, no difference ne sont pas importants.
We lost the PowerPoint. Amen. We can almost keep going. Okay. Let me gather my thoughts here. Think where I was. I'm going to take a quick drink.
Okay. Great. Une petite pause.
Revelation 5. Yeah, should be focused on that. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. We are in Christ.
Nous sommes en Christ.
A people that are called to love our enemies.
Un peuple que Dieu demande appelle à aimer nos ennemis.
So why sometimes do we start to think that we have enemies in the church?
Alors pourquoi est-ce que nous commençons à penser que nous avons des ennemis dans l'église?
We start to look at brothers and sisters as though they are part of the other group.
Et on commence à voir des frères et sœurs en Christ comme s'ils venaient de l'autre groupe.
Let me call that what it is. Sin.
Laissez-moi appeler ça avec son nom, c'est le péché.
Sin divides.
Le péché divise.
If we start to look down on one another, that is sin.
Si nous commençons à nous mépriser les uns les autres, ça c'est le péché.
If you feel like you have a reason to hate someone,
si tu sens comme si tu as une raison, tu as une raison d'haïr quelqu'un,
because of the past or present divisions in the world,
à cause du passé ou bien de la division présente dans le monde,
as a Christian,
en tant que chrétien,
now you know who to love.
Maintenant tu sais qui est-ce que tu dois aimer.
The only means that a Christian has to destroy their enemies is to love them until they are their friend.
Le seul moyen qu'un chrétien a pour vraiment vaincre son ennemi, c'est de l'aimer et de faire de son ennemi son ami.
But what if they strike me in the face?
Mais moi je me frappe.
Love them.
Si me frappe, il faut l'aimer. Yeah.
What if they disrespect me?
Si, il me manque de respect. Qu'est-ce que je fais?
Love them.
Faut l'aimer.
What if they mistreat me?
Si, vraiment, il me maltraite. Qu'est-ce que je fais?
Love them.
Faut l'aimer.
And by doing so, it may bring danger to us.
Et en le faisant, on s'expose. Ça peut vraiment nous ça peut être une source de danger.
You may even die.
Peut-être même que tu peux perdre ta vie.
Many Christians have died loving their enemies.
Beaucoup de chrétiens sont morts en train d'aimer leurs ennemis.
But Jesus said, you better be ready to do that if you're going to follow me.
Mais Jésus a dit, tu dois, pour être mon disciple, que tu sois prêt à le faire.
Jesus said, I'd rather have you pick up your cross and die than gain justice.
Il dit, je préfère que tu prennes ta croix. Et dans le processus mourir que d'avoir raison.
We cannot let the divisions determine how we act.
On ne peut pas laisser les divisions déterminer notre comportement.
Almost. What? Oh. Almost. Okay. That's all right. In Christ, actually, we're back on here? Okay. Can you go to 1 Corinthians 7? We're almost done here.
On est presque à la fin. Nous allons lire 1 Corinthiens chapitre 7.
And can you read verses 21 to
23? 23. Je vais lire les versets 21 à 23, 1 Corinthiens chapitre 7. Et la Bible dit ici, as-tu été appelé? Étant cela, ne t'inquiète pas. Mais si tu peux devenir libre, profite-en plutôt. Car l'esclave qui a été appelé dans le Seigneur est un affranchi du Seigneur. De même, l'homme libre qui a été appelé est un esclave de Christ. Et le verset 23 dit, vous avez été racheté à un grand prix. Ne devenez pas esclaves des hommes.
Amen. We'll talk about this verse in just a second.
Nous allons parler de ce verset dans quelques instants.
But I just want to finish up with this idea of loving our enemies.
Mais je vais conclure cette idée de fait d'aimer nos ennemis.
Chief Luthuli of South Africa. Chief Luthuli from South Africa.
Okay, il y a un chef Luthuli, il est de l'Afrique du Sud.
Once said that the road to freedom is via the cross.
Il a dit une fois que le chemin qui mène à la liberté passe par la croix.
When Nelson Mandela learned that, he said it changed his life.
Et Nelson Mandela dit que quand lui il a appris cette phrase-là, ça a changé sa vie.
We do not change the world by hitting back.
On ne change pas le monde en nous vengeant.
We do not change the world by dividing.
On ne change pas le monde par la division.
We change the world by sacrificing for the benefit of others.
Nous changeons le monde en nous sacrifiant pour le bénéfice des autres.
This is what I said earlier. The only means a Christian has of destroying their enemies is loving them until they are our friend. That may not change everyone, but our only choice is to love them. If it has flesh and blood, we are called to love it.
Si ça, le sang, si c'est fait de sang et de la chair, nous sommes appelés à l'aimer.
There is no room at the cross for vindictiveness, vengeance, or worldly justice.
Il n'y a pas de place auprès de la croix pour la vengeance, en fait, ou bien chercher à se faire justice de la manière du monde.
And there's no room in the church.
Et ça n'a pas de place dans l'église.
We also have a transformed identity in Christ.
Nous avons aussi une identité transformée en Christ.
Paul says there's no Gentile or Jew.
Et Paul dit qu'il n'y a plus de païens, de non-juifs, mais de juifs.
None of these categories matter.
Ces catégories ne sont plus importantes.
Now we have differences.
Nous avons des différences.
We have cultural differences.
Nous avons des différences culturelles, c'est vrai.
We have racial differences.
Raciales, c'est vrai.
And those are beautiful.
Et c'est une beauté.
And we should celebrate them and include all of them.
Et nous célébrer nos différences et les inclure dans notre manière de nous comporter.
But Paul here says they should not be the source of division or thinking you are superior to another group.
Ce que Paul dit en fait ici, c'est que ça ne doit pas être cette différence, ne doit pas être la source d'une division ou bien nous amener à penser que nous sommes supérieurs aux autres.
I'll be honest. Growing up, I was taught to think that I was, in many ways, superior because I was American. That's the truth. In Christ,
en Christ,
that's ridiculous.
Ça, c'est complètement mauvais. C'est pas acceptable.
There's none of that.
Il n'y a rien de ça en Christ.
In my country, in many ways, white people have advantages over black people.
Et dans mon pays, on peut vraiment avouer que les blancs ont beaucoup d'avantages par rapport aux noirs.
In Christ, none of that matters. Maybe here, one language group takes priority over the other. I beg you, don't let the divisions of the world come into this church. Show this world a different way.
Show this world a different way.
Be a city on a hill. Be a light shining in darkness. Be salt where there is none. Salt where there is none. The thing those three things have in common is you know when they are there. Because they stand out. Be different. If a race war broke out in the world, where would your loyalties lie? I'll be direct here. If a war broke out in this country between the Anglophones and the Francophones, where would your loyalties lie? Would it be along the lines of worldly division? Or would you remain loyal to God's kingdom, the one family of all languages and nations? And if you're not sure, then you've got some work to do to get your heart aligned with the gospel. An early Christian named Ignatius. In the year 105, said it is better for a man to be silent and be a Christian than to talk and not be one. We have to live out our faith. Because the world is watching. Finally, we have a transformed perspective. And this is the verse we read a moment ago. If in the world's eyes you are in the bottom of things, then in Christ's eyes you are on top. And if the world says you